Good morning, everybody. I'm very happy to be here, and I hope I can make some difference in your lives today. I just want to first take a few moments to say a little prayer to my spiritual teacher, and then start the talk. Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Vavidvishavahai. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Samastajanakalyane, Niratam Karunamayam, Namami Chinmayam Devam Satkurum Brahmavidvaram. Actually, the first part of my prayer was a prayer that both of our minds are in sync, so that I communicate to you to the best of my ability and you listen to the best of your ability. Because if that doesn't happen, then nothing happens, as you know, right? Okay, so let us go on to this subject. If you recall, you know, Mahatma Gandhi was one of the greatest spiritual leaders, actually. It's hard to find those nowadays. Okay. he was a leader and a spiritual personality, and he truly followed all the teachings that he talked about. Okay. So he said, satisfaction lies in the effort, not in the attainment. Full effort is full victory. Okay. That, I think, basically summarizes the whole what I'm going to talk about. So before we talk about work, understand that everything, the most fundamental thing about it is the philosophy of action, because everything starts with action. Okay. Now, why do we need this? Because the quality of action that you perform determines the quality of your work. Okay. So we need to talk about action, the most fundamental thing. Now, also, action that is performed in a particular environment using particular tools, that is defined as work. So when you perform action, thank you. So when you perform action in a certain environment with using particular tools, that's what you call work. Okay? And understand also that action has to start with a thought. Isn't it? Any particular action that you perform has to start with a thought. And there are two factors that determine the quality of your work. And what are those two? First of all, the first thing is called proficiency. Proficiency is your professional ability that you bring to the job that you do. Second thing is efficiency. Efficiency is the capacity to bring that proficiency into expression. So there are two things, right? Proficiency is your ability. You know about that subject and you know what to do. But then, can you bring to bear that particular expertise of yours at that particular moment? Let me give you an example. A surgeon, he's very good at doing things. But at the moment that he has to do surgery, perhaps on one of his family members, maybe he won't do that. But if he has to do that, and if an emotional thing kicks in his mind, just think what will happen to the surgery. You know, because if there's emotional things involved, then the mind is not efficient the intellect is not efficiently thinking about it, right? So there are agitations in there. You know, what will happen if something happens? Okay, so this idea is there. Therefore, the discipline, if you understand that the mind is a very great factor, the discipline of the mind is a great factor in the success of any action, and therefore in the quality of your work. So understand that the mind is the key to everything. Okay. Now, the quality of your thought process determines the quality of your action, and in fact, your entire life is built on the quality of thoughts you do. You know, the thoughts are the building blocks of your life, because with every thought comes an experience. Just understand that you cannot do anything without the thought about it. Okay, I cannot pick up a pen, the thought of the pen coming in my mind. I mean, sometimes, of course, it's just natural. It comes naturally, but it comes spontaneously. But understand that there's always a thought behind the action. Okay, and understand this also. If you sow a thought, you reap an action. When you sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. And you sow a character and you reap a destiny. See, so again, as I said, everything starts with a thought. That thought is the fundamental building block. Okay. Now, whenever you do action, you have a choice of action. And what are those choices? First of all, I don't want to perform any action. That could be the first thing. Second thing, I can perform the action in any random manner whatsoever. And the third thing, I can perform the action in an intelligent and conscious way. And guess what? I'm sure you know the third option is the best, right? If you look at chapter 3 in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord in the form of Krishna tells Arjuna, you know, remember, this Bhagavad Gita is a battle scenario. But it doesn't mean it applies only to a battle scene, because the mind is a battlefield of thoughts. Okay, there are positive thoughts and negative thoughts, each one competing for each other. Okay, so the whole idea is, the context is addressed to Arjuna because he is a warrior. Okay, and the Lord tells him to go and fight. And then he says, hey, wait a minute, I thought you said that killing is not good. But then, understand, it's not killing, it's not murder you're talking about. You're doing it as a duty to your country. Duty must be done, no matter what it is. Okay, we have to do a duty. Sometimes it's unpleasant, but a duty is a duty. And you know, there's something called, I talked about this subject last time, it's called dharma. Remember, I talked about it a couple of years ago or a year ago. And that particular subject, dharma, tells you how do you do that duty. You know, how that duty is aligned in each particular case. How do you do your duty? Okay, so therefore, in chapter 3, he says, Arjuna asks the Lord, he says, if you tell me that knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is the best thing, why do you engage me in battle? Very valid question, isn't it? So he says, why can't you just sit, meditate, and reach the highest goal? Why should I go and do battle? But you know, he says, the Lord says, in Sanskrit, this is how it's chanted. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krite karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jair gunai. Now what is he saying? He's saying, hey Arjuna, remember that not even for a single moment can you not do something. You know, the mind keeps moving back. It moves at lightning speed. You may not do an action physically, but your mind is constantly moving. So not for one moment can you sit still. So what would you rather have? When you take this mind that is constantly moving around, willing to do something, wouldn't you take that mind and make it do something creative rather than do something else? Right? Now, if that's the case, so everybody is forced to act according to one's own qualities. And understand that an action is different for every single person. If I look, let me give you an example. The apple fell from a tree. Newton said, wow, look at the law of gravity. My goodness. F is equal to mg. And the apple's falling right down according to the laws of gravitation. The hungry man said, I don't care for the laws of gravitation. I'm hungry. I want to go and eat the apple. The third person said, the artist said, look at the symmetry of the apple. Let me make a beautiful picture of that. Okay. So three different minds. So therefore, there are things in our mind. Each one of us has something called attitudes in our mind. Okay? These attitudes are in Sanskrit, they are known as gunas, G-U-N-A-S. And these gunas are the things that dictate to each of us how we perform a particular action. Okay? In general, there are three gunas. One is called tamas. Tamas is the most laziest person, most and doesn't want to do anything even for himself or herself. Next is called rajas. Rajas is activity, but activity done with a selfish motivation. And the third thing is sattva. Sattva is activity done with the noble intentions. See, these are the three characteristics. If you notice, at any moment, we are a product of these three. Sometimes we just don't want to do anything. I just want to sit down. I don't care. Let somebody do it. Who cares? Sometimes I want to go and do. I want to do things. But what do I want to do? I want to make sure that I get everything. I don't care for the rest of the world. And the third thing is, I want to do something but with a noble attitude. I want to do it for others. Okay? And understand that the joy is in giving, not in receiving. It's true. When you do things for others, you feel good inside. Why do you feel good? Because that's your nature. Your nature is to give. Your nature is not to take. Your nature is not to grab from the world. Your nature is to give to the world. Okay? See, that is why you feel so good. That is why, again, you know, children, little kids, they are automatically like that. They spontaneously think. That's why you feel so joyful when you see little kids doing things. Why? Because they're spontaneous in what they do. They have nothing. They have these three things have not started acting yet in their mind. But after a while, slowly through their past life or through the conditioning in the present life, they start getting those three gunas come again into play. And then you see that the child develops some tendencies. Even in your own family, if you say, if you have five different children, you see those five different children act in five in different ways. When there's the same thing. They know all of them don't like the same thing. Right? all of them want different things. And their attitudes are different, totally. Okay? This is why. Because the gunas in each person are different. Okay? This is what controls the mind. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of somebody with the lowest guna. Okay? I mean, just a example, down to earth example. Let's say a kid is getting up in the morning, sitting down, putting his foot on the couch like that. I mean, putting his foot like that, turning the TV on, full blast. Mom is washing the dishes. But he doesn't care. He wants potato. He goes on eating potato chips. And he goes on eating the chips. Mom, I need some more. But he couldn't care less what's happening there. Okay? He doesn't know that, hey, mom is doing all those dishes. Okay? Dad is doing something else and I'm not helping. See? So the tendency of the mind is, it goes down there. You know, remember, all these things have come. It is there in everybody. It's not anybody else. And what happens? What is the difference between a saint and one of us? Because the saint has transcended these three gunas. He has gone beyond all these three gunas. See, that's why in Sanskrit we call it Triguna Atita. Triguna means the three gunas. Atita means gone beyond those three. So realized souls and the great masters, you know, or like Jesus, Krishna, all those people, all these great masters, all these great gods that you call, the reason why they are gods is because they have transcended those three. They have gone beyond even the idea of being noble. See, even the thought of being noble. I told you that last guna, which is called sattva guna. Even the idea of being noble is an idea, is a thought. But supposing you don't even care whether you're doing, you're just doing things spontaneously without thinking that they're doing something noble or not. But it all happens to come automatically. It happens to be noble stuff. It happens to be very good stuff. Then you've gone beyond that. See? So it takes a while. We have to work at it and we have to get to that stage. Okay? Yeah. So we are talking about, now let me give you another example here of a person who has this most pure guna, which is called sattva guna. Sattva means purity of mind, okay, as I said. Okay. Supposing you look at, you know, there's a story. A king used to go to these temples. You know, in the ancient days, the king used to visit all the temples around. And in the temple is usually a priest, and the priest offers something to the Lord, and then what comes back, he takes that and offers it back to the people to eat, because the Lord has partaken of what you offered, and then what comes back is called prasad, and that prasad is what everybody takes. Okay, so this king, he saw in that temple one person was sitting there every day. He would see him come, he would see him sitting there every day at the same time and just eating things. And you know, in the king's mind, he has no idea. He's just used to all the activity in the kingdom. And he said, what is this guy doing? You know, he's just sitting there. This is my kingdom. And he's just sitting there and eating stuff from the temple every time. And I see him doing that. And that person was very calm. The person was sitting there. He never asked for any food. Whatever food comes, he ate. Okay. So this king, he said, once he got the courage, he took the courage to go and ask him, hey, what do you think you're doing? You know, every day you come here, and you start eating all the stuff here. Do you know how much work is going on in this country? And do you know how much of work I am doing? What are you doing sitting here every day and eating this stuff? He said, Your Majesty, I am sorry. But if you think I did something wrong, why don't you do what I am doing? He said, fine, let me do it. And he tried. The king, you know, do you know what happened? You know what? I told you these three gunas there in the mind, right? What do you think the gunas of a king will be? He has more of the other two. Right? The Rajas and the Tamas. The noble intentions are there, but it is predominant. The other two are predominant. So the king could not even sit there for a few minutes. This person was in meditation. The person I'm talking about was in meditation. And only when everything was served to the Lord, the priest came and offered him this. See that? So he said, okay, why don't you sit and do what I'm doing? And the king could not even sit for 5 or 10 minutes. Then he gave up and he said, I'm sorry. You know, please go and do what you're doing. See, this is an example of that mind, that kind of mind. Okay? Now, so he says, you know, in the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 4, the Lord says, by merely abstaining from work, you cannot achieve freedom from reaction. Nor by giving up everything can you attain perfection. See, just notice the words. In other words, I can't just not do any work and say, okay, you know, see, work is the thing that gets me into the world. So I want to get away from the world, though I want to sit quiet and meditate. You can't do that. Why? Because your mind will not allow you to do it. For the same reason that Sri Krishna had to tell Arjuna, hey, you have to fight. Why do you think he told him that? He could have told him, okay, you sit here and meditate. In fact, he asked him, why are you engaging me in battle when you told me that meditation is the first thing? Right? So, then he says, hey, Arjuna, understand. You cannot sit down and meditate. Even if I tell you and go to the Himalayas, sit down there like all these great saints and meditate. Do you think your mind will be on what I'm trying to meditate on? Do you think your mind will take off into the higher? No, because you have all these gunas. You still have to fight. So what do you have to do? You have to take whatever you know and turn that into a yoga. See, that's what yoga means. Yoga means the method of linking yourself to the infinite. See, yoga is not just the exercises, remember. You know, we loosely translate yoga as that. Yoga means, it comes from the word yuj. Yuj means to join. To join together the individual with the supreme. Because we are all part of the supreme. Not only that, I will go as far as to say that everything is nothing but God, 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 God and God. But you have to recognize, not by saying that I am God, but by understanding that my nature is divine and I have to express that divinity in every action that I do. Which is what you are doing here. I see all these beautiful things here, you know. Alright? So this is what we need to do with our lives, okay? Now, therefore, so Arjuna had to go through that. That's why he told him to fight. Because now what do? You are not fighting a random battle. You're fighting a battle for your country because your country needs you. If you don't fight this battle and if the other side wins, there will be only wrong things going on in this country because the king who's responsible for that group, okay, these are called the Kauravas. That person who's responsible for that group has all these terrible. His whole mind is totally into the lowest kind of thing that you can think of. Therefore, everything will be done with selfishness, greed, everything. And that is what will come into your country. That is the reason why you have to fight. So you are fighting a noble cause. So you need to fight. Okay? So this is the reason why he told him. Okay? Now, understand also that you cannot just sit quiet. Why? Because you know, as you know, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You have to keep your mind challenged. You know, even if you say, I want to retire, you better be sure what you want to do after you retire.
Really? Because it's better to walk, it is better to work and keep your mind constantly challenged and focused on what you're doing, rather than just retiring and taking the back seat. But if you're taking the back seat, make sure you serve the world with your time. Use it in the service of humanity. And that is retirement. Okay? Otherwise, keep doing what you're doing is fine. That can still be yoga. If you keep your mind focused and if you're present at everything that you do, which we'll talk about, that also is yoga. Okay? So here, a negative, and another thing, the third thing is, you should not have any negativity in your mind, pessimism in any action. Why is that? Because, you know, negativity can bring you into a lot of problems. You know that. You know, let me give you an example. This was there in one of the books. An engineer who worked for the Carrier Air Conditioning Company, okay? He was a very, very good engineer. He was 25 years old, and he was achieving a lot of things for this company. And his boss told him, hey, why don't you, I have a special job for you in Pennsylvania. Why don't you go, and they have a contamination problem in their air conditioning unit in the company. So please go and address that problem. And now, if this engineer, what did he do? He had no idea what that was because he had not touched that part of the field. You know, he was not familiar with contamination, air conditioning. So first thing he started, my goodness, what should I do? Oh God, you know, I don't know anything about it. And he started worrying. And as he started worrying more and more, his mind developed more and more a negative trend. And as he got more and more negative, he started getting health problems. Because as you know, if you worry, ulcers in the stomach, okay? And this ulcer, and then this is a catch-22 situation. The moment you have ulcers in the stomach, oh God, I've got this, and then the mind starts agitating. So it goes back and forth. So this engineer, he didn't know what to do, and his health degraded, okay? And he didn't know what to do, and his company almost fired him, okay? Because he didn't yet say that he won't do it. Then he said, all of a sudden, he sat down one day and said, okay, enough is enough. Let me see what's the worst thing that can happen to me. See, the moment he did that, he started analyzing the problem. You never give up, okay? You start analyzing. So he sat down and said, okay, what is the worst thing that can happen to me? Okay, worst thing that can happen to me, I can get fired from my job. Okay, fine. Good. Now, what can I do about it? See, the moment you say that, you're on a positive trend. He said, okay, I'm 25 years old. Huh? I'm not as if I've lost everything, you know, and I don't have anything else to do. Huh? I have still this energy. I have 25 years old and I can still go and work in another company. And the moment he did that, his mind started to take a positive turn and his mind started becoming available to think. And then he found out, hey, I don't have to do this alone. I have a lot of people. I can ask, consult people. Okay? And when I consult people, I'll know what's the right thing to do. So he got an opening into that. And his mind started thinking positive. And when he started thinking positive, his disease started disappearing. And he took a positive trend, and then what happened? He found the solution to his problem. See that? So whenever you go negative, there's a problem. But when you start analyzing the situation, the problem disappears. So that's one of the things you should know. Okay? Very important thing in work. Okay? See, it says here, stand up to your obstacles and do something about them. You will find that they haven't half the strength that you think they have. See, you get overwhelmed because you think like that. Why do you think like that? Hey, if you understand that your nature is divine and nothing can stand in the way of that divinity, understand that my nature is divine, so what can I not do? What can I not accomplish? Okay? Therefore, if you have that attitude, then everything comes out right. Okay? So, the Lord says, perform your prescribed duty because doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. So you need to do something. Okay? Very important. Now, how do you do this work? You know, he says that you should do this as an offering. Now, in Sanskrit, we have a term called prasada buddhi. Prasad means, you know, when, as I told you, like, you know, when you offer something to the Lord, okay, particularly in the Hindu tradition, we offer something to the Lord, we go to the temple, we offer it, and then the thing that comes back, okay, after you offer it, of course, you know, the Lord If in your mind you think the Lord has partaken of it, then He has partaken of it. If you don't think He has, then nothing will happen. See, it's all your individual faith. Okay? So when you understand that the Lord has partaken of it, I'm doing the best I can, I'm cooking the best beautiful food for the Lord, and I'm offering it to the Lord with the best intentions. Then, you know, the scripture says that the Lord will partake and shall partake of it. Therefore, after He's partaken, then you take it. Okay? Now, use the same attitude in everything that you do. Offer everything that you do as a work, or everything that you do as a dedication to the Lord. And whatever comes back, don't worry whether it's good or bad. In your mind you might think, oh my goodness, what is this? Why should this happen to me? Take it as the Lord's gift back to you. Because you never know what's coming down the line. I'm telling you from experience, you know, I had lost my jobs many times. I was laid off. You know, the aerospace industry is like that. Many of you, if you are in aerospace, you know that. So, when you get laid off again and again, then it makes you a little hard. And you wonder. You know, you start thinking, what can I do about it? And you keep going. You keep going and says, maybe it's a better thing. And I have found many, many times, it's always for the better. You'll find that 3 years from now, my goodness, it's a good thing I lost that job. Because this is much better. It's more accommodative. It's, you know, my health and everything else is more conducive to what I'm doing. You see, so this is very important to understand that everything happens for the best. Okay, let me tell you a very small story in this context. A king in the olden days, you know, he goes with his whole retinue for hunting. Okay, so they used to go, and then all the soldiers, everything went with him. And at some point, he went. He had a minister, and the minister always had the attitude that if anything happened, he said, "Your Majesty, everything is for the best." So the king was very irritated with this attitude, because you know everything, even when something terrible happened, then he said, "Your Majesty, everything is for the best." So he was very irritated. So this king said, okay, I've had enough of you. Throw him in the jail. And he put him in the jail cell. So the minister was in the jail cell. And the king went out hunting with his retinue. As they went around, he started doing everything, and all of a sudden he got caught in this chase, and he got lost from the rest of his people. And he got disconnected, he didn't know where he was. You know, there's no cell phones and all. Remember that. So, so you have to wander around and find your way. So, as he wandered around, he didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, a group of people, these were cannibals, they caught hold of him and said, very good. Here's a sacrifice for us. You know, they used to offer human sacrifices. So, they said, and not only that, we've got a royal sacrifice. This is a king with a crown. Very good. So they started preparing him for the sacrifice. And then, but also they had one more ritual. They would make sure that that person is unharmed from the beginning to the end. Okay? Now, just before the king went into the reason why he threw that minister into the jail is because the king's finger was cut. And when the finger was cut, he said, "Oh, Your Majesty, everything's for the best." He said, "What? How dare you say this? You know, I just got my fingers cut, it's injured so much, and you say it's for the best? Throw him in the jail." And that's why he got into the jail. Now see what happens here. When the cannibal starts examining the king from head to foot, he sees this thing in the hand. And he says, "This is not good. How can we offer this to the Lord?" And they said, "Get out from here." And they pushed him, threw him aside. And then the king somehow found his way back to the palace. Then he told the minister, when he came out, he said, "Okay, let him go." They took him out of the cell, and he said, "Hey, you're right. You know, this has happened. But tell me one reason, tell me something. How come this is for your good? I put you in there. Why is that for your good?" He says, "Your Majesty, if I had been out, I would have been with you, and I would have been the sacrifice." So you see, everything is for the best. You have to have the faith that is true, and it is true. Okay? Remember that you've always heard this many, many times. It's like a cliche. God loves you. Yes, God loves you. And there's no choice. God has to love you because your nature is divine. How can it not be there? You're so close to God that you can't believe how close you are. So how can it be? Even if you say, "I don't like you, God," God will say, "I don't care whether you like me or not, I like you." there's no choice. Okay? Understand that. Okay? So here, so what is the perfect action? Okay? So the Lord says in chapter 3 again. Chapter 3 is a very beautiful chapter to study in terms of karma yoga, which is the yoga of action. He says, Mai sarvani karmani sanyas yadhatma chetasa nirashya nirmamo bhutva yuddhasva vigata juraha. He gives you the philosophy of action. He's saying, hey, Arjuna, surrender all whatever you're doing to me. You know, like I said, the prasada buddhi, right? Whatever you do, surrender that to the Lord and do it. And whatever comes, accept it as it comes. You know, you will be also courageous to accept and have the faith that what's coming to you is okay. And you know, you can do whatever you want, but in the end, accept whatever comes, because that is the Lord's gift to you back. So, he says, surrender all your works to me with the full knowledge of the fact that I am doing everything for your sake, and without a desire for any profit or anything like that, with no claims of authorship to the action. Don't think that you are doing everything. I am doing everything through you. Understand that, he says. And then with that, and free from lethargy, free from, you know, not the fact that I want to sit around here. He said, fight your battle. See, just like that, same thing, same advice goes to us. Whatever we do, just do it. You know, have you seen Nike's thing there? I don't know why they said that, but but I think that also works for us. Just do it. You've seen that, right? So just do the thing and don't worry about whether it's, you know, what you're getting out of it. Okay? Just do the action. That is the most important thing. Okay? Our own Gurudev said, forget the dead past, because it's, you're dwelling in the past. Forget the uncertain future. It's not coming. You don't know where it is. And always be in the present. You see, you understand one thing? The present is so important. Because even to take things from the past, you have to bring it to the present, isn't it? How can you look at the past in the past? You have to look at the past in the present, isn't it? How can you look at the future in the future? You can look at it only in the present. You have to bring both these things into the present only, right? So therefore, what you do is bring it to the present, do your stuff and throw it back. Don't keep hanging on to the past. Some people have this idea, oh, this person did something to me 10 years ago, now, I, you know, the revenge, idea of revenge. It's not right, you know. Don't try to get even with somebody. Okay. In fact, if you show that person that you're doing something better, that person will be surprised and you can transform the person. Forgive. Forgiveness. So important. Okay. So, this is a very, very important thing. So, don't regret. So, no regrets of the past. No worry about the future. But always act in the present. So, be present in any action you do. Okay. Again, in chapter 2. Okay. Lord Krishna says, he says that, you know, be even-minded in what you do, in happiness and sorrow, in gain and loss, victory and defeat. He says, just do it. You know, don't worry about you're going to win, you're going to lose. Okay? Don't worry about you're going to be happy or sorrowful. Don't worry about whether you gain or lose. Okay? And when you do an action in that spirit, he says, that is a perfect action. Okay? So understand, that's the way. Okay? Yeah. So, perform this duty. Equipoise. You know, equipoise. Equipoise of mind means equanimous. Don't let any agitation be there. Okay? And then he says, don't abandon all this idea of success. Abandon all the attachment to either success or failure. Success and failure is not in your hand. You know, let me look at it this way. You know, I know there are practical reasons, okay, that you say, oh, I must succeed in this because otherwise my boss will do something to me. Yeah, that's fine. But again, understand that, do you think that boss is right? He may not be right. He's using his own judgment. Everything is judgment, judgment, judgment. That is why Christ said, don't judge. It's not good to judge. Because who are we to judge? You know, if we are looking at it from a spiritually realized person, a spiritually realized person can make a decision and tell you what to do. Because that person is not acting through his mind. There is no ego present when such a person tells you something. But when you and I do this, we are acting through our mind. Remember, because we still have a mind and we do everything through our mind. Until we transcend the mind, we cannot judge anybody. See, that's the reason why you should not judge. That's why you should keep an open mind. Okay? Okay, now, the other thing. What is the meaning of equanimity? You know, you've seen a simple pendulum. Okay? If I take the pendulum bob and pull it to one side, it does this. It doesn't want to stay here. It doesn't want to stay here either. But it wants to be in the center. Why is that?
because it's happy in the center. In physics, we call that the position of minimum potential energy. Okay? Now, just like this pendulum has a position at which it's comfortable, a human being also has a position of mental comfort. And what is that? Where the mind is peaceful. See, that is what we should look for. Okay? And how do you get that? When you do your duty, abandoning idea of success or failure. Just do it, do it, do it. Don't worry about success, failure. Because success, failure is not in your hands anyway. Isn't it? You know, I can be the best, you know, as I said, I can be the best surgeon, right? But if my mind is not available at the time that I'm doing surgery, something could go wrong. I could be the best archer in an archery contest. But if the wind, if a gust of wind blows at the exact time that you shoot, right? So you can only do the best that you can. Nobody is saying not to do your best. Put your best effort forward, but then let it go. Let go of everything else. Okay? Okay. So do your best and let go of the rest. Just do it. Okay. So proficiency and efficiency are two very important concepts. Okay? And what you should do is be an instrument of the Lord. Understand that everything is being done through you. Don't have the egocentric idea that I am doing it, I am doing it. Let it be done through you. Okay? So when you prepare the mind, it becomes like that. When you understand that. Okay? Now, see and understand, happiness is liking the job you do, not doing the job you like. See, it's very important. Because it is not what you do, it's how you do what you do. It's important. The attitude is the most important thing. Okay? So what should you do when you do an action? Okay? See, what you should be aware of when performing an action, in chapter 2, again, verse 47-48, he says, hey, Arjuna, you have a right to perform your duty. That's fine. But you're not entitled to the fruits of that action. You do it, and whatever happens, let it come. Take it as it comes. Don't say, I have to have this. I did this. Why didn't I get this? You know, many times we do this. We do this and we expect something. Expectations are not good. Planning is good. You plan, definitely, of course, and do the best you can. But if it doesn't come out, understand that everything's happening for the best. Like the minister and the king. Right? Remember that. You must have that faith. Okay? But of course, continue to strive and do the best you can. Nobody says not to strive. But always take things as they come, after it comes. Okay. Then, the other thing is, so consider you can do your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. And then also, don't consider yourself the cause or the results of your activities. Don't think that you are the one who dictates what happens in a certain situation. Okay? You have only the right to act. Okay? And then also, never deal with the fact that never be unattached to action. That means do stuff. Don't think I'll sit here. You have also seen there are sins of omission and sins of commission, isn't it? If you just sit quietly and something wrong is happening in some place, you don't want to. You can't just sit quiet like that. It's not right, right? I know sometimes we don't want to get involved. Yes, of course. You know, those are all individual decisions we make. Okay. But the idea is that. You know, you don't, it says don't be lazy, don't be inactive. Same? Okay. Okay, now, let me conclude with this 9-point program. Okay? I knew I'll be run out of time. Okay. But anyway, I'll give you time for questions here, plus we'll have questions outside also. Okay, so first thing is, count your blessings. Okay? So be thankful at least 5 things. Consider 5 things in your life that you have, and be thankful for that as a gift from the Lord. Okay. Second, offer every action of yours as an offering to the Lord. Okay. That means make the most sincere effort in making sure that action or offering as a gift is offered in the best condition. You know, when you offer flowers to somebody, you don't give wilted flowers. You bring fresh ones and offer it, right? So to make your activity so beautiful and offer that beautiful activity to the Lord. Third, accept whatever comes back as a result of the offering as God's gift to you. Okay, whatever the result, remember that. Remember, you have no foresight as to whether something is good or bad for you. You are only making a decision based on your mind, which is already agitated. Okay, we have no right to do that. Then, perform your action as a dedication to the Lord. Anything that you do, dedicate it to the Lord and do. Okay, and then, next thing. So, do your best and leave the rest. Then, remember that you need to forget the dead past and not be anxious about the uncertain future and be present in every action you do. Okay, make every action of yours conscious. Okay, for example, you know, whether you're setting the table, remember everything can be a prayer. Whether you're setting the table, that when you put your my heart and soul into what you do, it already becomes a prayer because you're present. When you're present, you're expressing your divine self. Your ego self is not present. Do you understand? When you're present, ego is not present. But when your ego is present, God is absent. See, understand that. Okay, and then. You know, the next thing, I'll cut some things out here so that I'm finished almost. Understand also, the antidote to mental exhaustion is not necessarily rest. The antidote is wholeheartedness in what you do. Don't do things half-heartedly. If you do, put your heart and soul into something and you see that there is this inner satisfaction that comes to you because you're doing it for the Lord. Understand, okay? Then follow the simple steps. You know, have you seen a book called Fish? The Fish Philosophy. It's a beautiful book. You should read it. It's by Stephen London, L-U-N-D-I-N. It talks about four important things. He says, when you deal with the customer can be anybody. It can be your husband, it can be your wife, it can be your kids, it can be a customer in a business. Okay? And this was done in a company in Seattle. You know, they had a fish market outlet. Okay, and in the fish market, you know, they were, you know, things were getting very boring because, you know, you want to see use of selling fish and taking that. So they said, let's make this an exciting thing. So how do you make just selling fish an exciting thing? So this is what they started. He said, you know, he said, first thing, make all work a play. Don't take it as work. You know, these guys who pass the fish, they sing, oh, this is a fish from Minnesota, and throws it out, and another guy receives it, and then says, then you know, the customer is so happy over there, okay, and this guy who's passing the fish is so happy that he sang so well, and another guy is holding it, and they're packaging it, and he's singing another song when he's packaging it. So each one, you make this whole work a play, okay. Next thing, when you deal with a customer, make their day. You know, make it your day, right? Make my day, right? Just like that. So, make sure the customer feels, wow, I got so much out of it. You know, you go back to a customer again and again, isn't it? When somebody is doing something good for you. Third thing, choose the right attitude with the customer. Remember that, okay? That means never mind what he says, but give him back a smile. And he says, oh, this is not right. Okay, sir, I'm sorry I did that. I'll do it better next time. Or let me take that and do it again. You know, I went to a Saturn dealer some time ago. Okay, I don't want to. This is not a propaganda for Saturn. But I went to the Saturn dealer, and he said, "Sir, can I wash your car also?" I said, "Yeah, okay. Can I wash some inside all mats and all the? Okay, can I clean it? Yes." Now, when I got the car back, the right side was not done. The left side was done. Then I told him that. He said, "Never mind, sir. I'll take it back and do it again." See, that's the attitude. You do everything by the book and do that. And then next thing is to be there for the customer. That means be present in what you do. I mean, no, be conscious. See, that's the most important instruction I can give you. If you are present in what you do, God is with you. If you are absent in what you do, then your ego is present. See? Okay? Do you understand? So this, you know, this philosophy was practiced by companies like Sprint, okay, and then there's another hospital that practiced it. There are four or five companies, industries that practiced it and found great success in customer interaction, everything else, okay. So this is the 9-point plan that I gave you, and I hope that this, my prayer is that all these things help you and you see the real meaning of happiness in any work you do. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak, and wish you good luck.